At Capella University, you'll get support from people who care about your success. From before you enroll to after you graduate, pursue your goals knowing help is available when you need it. Imagine your future differently at capella.edu.
If your child is struggling in school, then IXL is right for your family. IXL is an online learning program for kids that covers math, language arts, science, and social studies. Backed by research, kids using IXL are scoring higher on tests. It's no wonder it's used in 95% of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Plus, a month of IXL costs less than an hour of tutoring. Get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when you sign up today at IXL.com/20. Visit IXL.com/20 to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Hi, I'm Aaron.
And I am Brittany.
And we are
For Color Nerds, the conversations.
Oh yes, that black people have.
When white people are not in the room.
But we put it on the internet.
Yes, we're real.
I try to do it in my low bass, quiet snoring voice.
I don't know why. I don't know why you think that that's what you
sound like. It doesn't
sound like.
In my former life, I was a quiet snore DJ.
You know what? I've been trying to encourage my father to do that. So he's retired. I think he would be good at it.
It's a good regular job.
Yeah, I think he should start his own podcast where he just talks about quiet storm stuff and plays clips. But he doesn't want to do that, and that's not my business. I'm not drinking tea, but I am drinking iced coffee.
Yeah, which you probably shouldn't be, but, you know.
You're doing it too, though.
Well, I can have caffeinated beverages.
I had a quarter of a cup of coffee before I came here today, too. So I'm like.
You lit.
Oh, I'm lit up.
So what you been up to?
I had a lot of recent, like, just general life upgrades, so life is going good in general for me. I feel pretty great. You know, living situation is popping.
Mm.
Yeah. I really been just, you know, hanging out, just working on some things, trying to get it together.
Working on some things. I guess we'll talk about that later.
That's pretty much what's going on with me. I went to a West Indian Day Parade.
Mm, Juve. I stayed back.
Yeah, it turns out that's not a great place to bring your infant child.
Yeah, yeah. A little loud.
A little loud. Touch. But yeah, it was. I mean, but you know what, though? Probably next year, Peanut will be old enough. Honestly, really, real talk. I wouldn't be surprised if Peanut was on a float next year. Peanut's going to be on one of the Juve floats, like, playing steel drum.
Like, no, she's going to be, like, the DJ, like, yeah, yeah.
Like, like the hype, man.
That's
totally
her
personality. Treated that. Yeah, no. I had the best motherfucking time of my life. Yeah. Honestly, at some point in the future, I'm going to have some lung damage from how much powder paint I breathed in.
Mm.
I was coughing up blue and green.
Like, I feel like I would always be green. A mud person as opposed to the, like, one to paint people.
I didn't really get too much mud. I got a lot of baby powder. Mm. Got a lot of powder paint. Got a lot of actual paint. Got some tar.
Yeah.
Honestly, like, I'm going to be honest with you. I basically had, like, 7 nutcrackers over, like, what was probably 2 separate 4-hour, 6-hour time spans.
Yeah, I'm glad your liver made it.
I can't believe I'm alive, actually. And I didn't get hungover at all. Like, I just kept, you know what it was? It was the curry chicken. It was the curry chicken that sustained me.
It'll bring you through. You know what I found? Because, you know, I'm new to the West Indian Caribbean lifestyle.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But, you know, I've embraced it, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
Oxtail.
Woo! Oxtail is good.
Yo, I never knew. And, like, I've had curry chicken before. So I was like, okay, curry chicken's really good.
Right, right, right.
But oxtail changed my life. It just changed my life. It's like I'm different. Every time Carla's mom comes through, I'm like, yo.
Oh, so she make oxtail?
She make oxtail.
Y'all don't invite me nowhere.
I didn't know what my crock pot was capable of.
You have a crock pot? Oh, you're married. I guess you do have a crock pot.
Yeah. That's, I mean, we don't use it that much. When she came in, she was like, look, let me show you what you got. She made that oxtail.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
An embarrassment of riches.
Yeah. It's wonderful.
Yeah. I mean, you know what? Honestly, y'all got to figure out a way for you to come, like, next year. It is literally I already like the parade, but when you go to Juve, it gives the parade a whole lot of context. And it's just like, it's unspeakable. Mm-hmm. Like, even Popeyes, I think on Empire Boulevard.
Do they have a float?
No, they stay open, though.
Like, I was going to say, they need a Popeyes float.
They do need a Popeyes float. Popeyes is open. Like, McDonald's is closed. And you know what? That let me know, again, that putting my trust and faith in Popeyes, they were open for the black dollar. You know, older black folks, their favorite thing to talk about is the black dollar.
Yeah. I mean, it's a powerful thing.
It's a powerful thing. You know what else I did recently?
What'd you do?
I babysat Peanut.
Oh, yes, you did. You did. You did. And did a good job, too. She was alive when I got home. I was really happy.
No, let me tell y'all, Eric and Carla stayed out.
Oh, yeah. We were supposed to come back. I said like 12-ish. It was like
1:30. Yeah, you came
back.
Because like, no, I babysat him with a friend of mine. Mm-hmm. Him. I babysat her with a friend of mine. And I thought she was going to be like a handful. Because I heard that she's like, you know, she's an infant. I heard the infants are popping.
I mean, she's
like,
lit. But what we found, you helped us to prove this, mm-hmm. Is that she won't really show out with other people. Like, she goes crazy with us because she knows, like, y'all stuck with me. Mm. But she, like, plays this, like, oh, I just want to, like, look at you for a little while. Oh, I'm hungry. And then she goes to sleep.
No, she cried. She was crying for, like, a smooth hour and some change. But, like...
oh, so y'all got a taste. Y'all got a
taste. But the other thing is like, I don't have kids. So I was kind of like, I can do this for a couple hours. Like, I ain't tripping.
Oh, yeah, for a couple hours.
Yeah, for a couple hours, like, I was like... I ain't tripping, like, okay, I'm going to do this today, and then tomorrow I'm going to go home and just, you know.
Live your
life. Child free. I'm going to continue to do what the fuck I feel like doing 100% of the time. But no, she is, like, so cute. Like, Thank you. Woke up the next day, and I was like, I miss Peanut.
She is a wonderful soul.
She is about to be fucking driving you crazy. I'm so excited.
About to be.
Yeah. She's my partner. Yeah. And she's my partner in, you know, just keeping your life colorful.
If there isn't any other argument for spare the rod, it's that right there. But
but yeah, babysat Peanut. And also last night, I went to the movies.
Yes. What'd you see?
I'm going to tell you guys right now. Oscar season is fucking closed. Mm. Okay. Oscar season is done because last night.
It's wrapped up
because last night I saw The Perfect Guy.
I'm really upset because I haven't seen it yet. Carl and I are on a like 2-week delay for any movies.
Yeah,
so like we got to see it like 2 weeks after.
Actually. Well, you already know the last movie that I saw was like Beyond the Lights, which came out last November.
Yeah,
yeah. So like the last movie I saw before then was like The Best Man Holiday, and the last movie I saw before that was like Sparkle. So pretty much like if you were like, oh, you know, Judi Dench and Cate Blanchett and Helen Mirren and Meryl Streep are in, you know, like a fucking Steve McQueen period film and it's gonna be nominated for every Oscar, I'd be like, you know what, I'm probably gonna skip that. But if you're like Sanaa Lathan is about to get stalked by the blue-eyed man that used to date Halle Berry, then like no, I know his name is Michael Ealy. I know every black actor's name. But yeah, if you tell me that, I'm like, I will be there. Literally, you don't understand. We got there at 7:30. The movie time was 9:41. We got there at 7:30.
You got to show up and respect.
Oh, yeah. And I went to Court Street. Out. So I was like, I'm not going to play around because I know this shit is going to be fire. Why tell you the theater was so full?
I mean, I bet that was an experience. I've told you about my love for Court Street, the Court Street cinema.
I like Court Street, I'm realizing, for certain films because...
Well, for a film, like it's a perfect film to go see at Court Street.
Perfect. And like, I had a great week. I had a great week at work. I had an absolutely fucking delightful week. Mm-hmm. But I tell you what, this was a great fucking start to my weekend. This was a great fucking Friday night, sitting at Court Street with 20,000 other black people.
Yeah.
Literally hundreds of them. The theater was so full, I was sitting front row. Like, we were sitting in the very front row. I had my head tilted all the way back. Mm. I drank in every single fucking frame of that movie. Mm. And, like...
It looks beautiful.
Oh, my God.
Expertly done.
Oh. We're going to see it.
Oh, yeah. I'm hyped to go back.
Well, I'm going back because, like, that shit, as soon as it was over, I was like, I could do this again. But there was somebody in the movie who I hadn't really seen in a while.
Who was that?
Morris Chestnut. Yes.
You know, Morris Chestnut, I used to hear, like, growing up, you know, you hear about people, you're supposed to be like, oh, Denzel. You know, like, you don't hear your mom, you never had your mom or, like, your sister.
Yeah.
It's like, but Morris Chestnut was, like, after Denzel, Morris Chestnut was, like, that guy in the house. Like, they were on 10. Anytime he was in anything, we were sitting down watching whether I wanted to or not. Mm-hmm. To the point where now, I mean, I have a general, not even a general, I have a pretty significant appreciation for Morris Chestnut.
You do.
I think we've discussed this before.
We have discussed because, like, I don't think that hard about Morris Chestnut, but you know his, like, whole fucking thing backwards and forwards.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like he is in, like, I mean, there's probably a larger catalog, but he is, like, definitely one of the few black actors who has been consistent you know, like out there putting out hits.
Fresh work.
Consistently for a long time, who doesn't really get his just due. You know, we talk a lot about Denzel. We, you know, even now we talk a lot about like Don Cheadle. You know, Don Cheadle, one of the people who've been around forever.
Yeah.
But like for people of our time, you know, like
who
we've seen since probably what, late 80s, like Morris Chestnut has been around.
He has been around. And like, I'm not going to lie to you and say that Morris Chestnut is like, you know, I don't know if he's like Denzel or Don Cheadle level talent, but as far as like box office, like being out there, being in stuff and making stuff that's like decent, that like a lot, like a ton of people have seen, he's been in a ton of popular movies.
Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, I think when you talk about a certain, so like, and I don't mean to separate black film like this, but like, when you think about spaces where black people will be, you know, like you have your tiers.
True.
Yeah, like in terms of like that top tier, you know, you're talking about like a Denzel or Don Cheadle. And I don't think that's an insult to say like just below, like just after that, you've got, you know, your Morris Chestnut, your Nia Long, if you look at the kind of the flip side of that.
True.
You know, and that's another one. Real talk, Nia, been around for a long time, in damn good performances.
Yes.
Doesn't get a lot of just due.
That's true. No, you're 100% right. Actually, Nia Long was like, played the supposedly biracial daughter in Made in America with fucking Whoopi Goldberg and Ted Danson.
And Will Smith,
that's right. He was her boyfriend in the movie. Her best friend.
Best friend Roger-esque personality.
Yeah. If I was in high school, Will Smith wouldn't have been my best friend. That's all I got to say about that.
Okay. Well, I mean, Nia Long wouldn't have been my best friend either.
You know,
I mean,
what? Like, that's fucking real. Nia Long
gorgeous
wouldn't,
woman.
She would have been my best friend either. So there you go.
But yeah, no. So like, I mean, those two specifically, like they have been, like if you think about, like we said, that tier of black films, like, and how black film and even black TV has kind of like evolved over time. Mm-hmm. They have really like always been there, at least for us, you know, as much as we remember. Like if you think of like the early 90s, that's when we were starting to become like conscious too, what the, you know, like,
yeah,
what
like
culture
living,
and entertainment is.
Life.
Yeah. We're talking, okay, oh, I can do this.
I can read, yeah.
But like honestly, and it started with Boys in the Hood.
I remember Ricky got shot.
Yo, Ricky.
That scene is so iconic. Like, did you see that thing where the kid is in the bounce thing?
Yeah.
In the meme? And they made like a Ricky getting shot meme of like a Vine video.
No, actually, wait. I thought I knew what you were talking about.
There's this little boy who's like on this little bounce thing, and he gets like, I think he falls, and like there's like some other like weird like kind of windmill-esque type thing, mm-hmm. where like he falls on it, and then he starts going around. It's like a little weird play area thing. Yeah. He just starts going around, and he just takes out all these other kids, like just wipes them the fuck out.
I'd love that for like, I mean, this is a tangent, but like Vines in general, like for it to be a 6-second like film.
Oh,
it takes about 30 minutes to describe a Vine.
You can't describe a Vine.
Especially a black Vine.
You like, can't describe a Vine.
We could do a whole podcast about the, what is it, the, oh my God. like if you think, it's so many layers to that. Like, I don't want to, you know, like.
No, well, because I told you I went to go see The Perfect Guy last night. There's a point, and y'all seen the trailer. I'm not going to give away any spoilers, because, like, legit, do not walk. Run to see this ratchet ass movie. This shit is so fucking good. I honestly probably buy it on DVD, and if it's not on DVD, someone in my family will bring a bootleg to Christmas.
Yeah,
somebody in your family will bring a bootleg to Christmas too. So it's fine.
If they don't already have it,
if they don't already,
but please
have it.
Go see and support the film.
Yes, please go see and support the film. But yeah, no, there's a part in the trailer where like he, like Michael Ealy, like beats this white guy's ass for kind of like talking to Snell Lathan or whatever about his car. And like in the movie, he like beats him to a pulp. And then they're driving back because, of course, naturally this is a movie. So her dumb ass gets back in the car with him, which she has an opportunity to not do that.
Yeah.
So like they're riding in the car and he looks at her like, you know, I've never done that before. And the dude sitting 2 seats down from me was like, oh my God. For those of you guys who don't know, there is this like amazing fucking 10-second video. Just Google "Why You Always Lie."
It's the best thing.
Best thing you could ever watch.
Like, if it wasn't almost fall, I'd be wearing my chest out like for the rest of the
summer. Oh, but are you kidding? No, literally, like, oh my God.
Chest out in a blue shirt.
Remind me to tell you of when my dear friend changed his ringtone. It like fucking basically Rickrolled me to that shit. He's like, I can't find my phone. I don't know what it is. Something about the ringer. Can you just call it right quick to see if it works? Fucking, why you always lie? It's like, it's the best thing you could ever possibly watch. But like, it's amazing how just those little fucking snippets, man.
It's just, it's layers. It's levels.
It's levels.
It's levels.
It's levels.
But yeah, coming back to Boys in the Hood.
Yes.
And like Nia Long and Morris Chestnut in Boys in the Hood. Like, you know, obviously, like, I mean, that cast in general, like Cuba.
Yeah.
You know, Lawrence Fishburne.
Yeah.
Angela Bassett.
Yeah.
You know.
Ice Cube, honestly.
Ice Cube. Yeah. Like, you know, but like crazy cast.
Yeah.
But like they turned in like Ricky, that like he's so captured like that. That's, I mean, I guess a stereotype or archetype of character, you know, like the football player who like this is his only real way out.
It's like Cooley High.
Yeah, he's the person of promise.
Side note, You should definitely come back and talk about Cooley High at some point, but go ahead.
But no, yeah, like he so captured that character, and like his death and like that moment is such a like touchstone of black culture that's like lived on. And there are a bunch of those Morris Chestnut type moments. Like, you know, like same thing with Nia Long. Like Nia Long, you know, obviously she was Dre's girlfriend, you know, and like she just Dre. And like, I remember all her sweatsuits.
Oh,
like,
my God. Oh, my God. But that's how you knew she was a nice girl.
Yeah. You know, she was wearing
wearing a little jogging suit.
Yeah. These really nice jogging suits. You know, she was out here looking great.
Body was covered.
Yeah. But like they were, you know, if you think about like that in the cult, like in that period of like urban films, like actually like L.A. movies, you know what I'm saying? Like if you think of Boys in the Hood, like there's obviously like Menace to Society, but also like Friday, again, Nia Long out here like showing how you do it.
Yeah,
like,
with her little the sports bra and like the bike shorts.
And the crop top.
The crop top, running around the neighborhood.
Yeah.
The shortcut. Nia Long's shortcut. Not to mention, even like outside of movies, she was Lisa. She was Will's girlfriend on fucking Fresh Prince.
Yeah.
And I remember when Rihanna got like the fucking Lisa haircut. Cause like, no, you know, Nia Long's shortcut was like between her and Toni Braxton.
I mean, for a long time, and it evolved, and like people and black people evolved with her.
Yeah.
Because she showed everybody how to do it. She showed how to do this.
Son. Yes, she really did. I mean, you're right. Actually, there's several iterations of Nia Long's shortcut that black women have been copying for like ever.
She don't get her just due. That's like one section. And then obviously, if you think of, like when you're thinking of Nia Long, you think of Morris Chestnut. Mm-hmm. You know, there is the bougie black renaissance of films that came out in like the mid to late 90s period that they just fucking owned.
They really did. It was like every single year there was like a new popping movie about like black people who were our age who had all this money. Yeah. It got me so hyped to be grown. I was like, right? I'm gonna be grown. Me and all my friends gonna fuck each other. We all gonna go to each other's weddings. I'm gonna get a shortcut like Nia Long. Yeah, I should never. First of all, I didn't make any money. Fortunately, I have not slept with any of my friends. And additionally, prayerfully, thank God, I never got a shortcut.
Yeah,
I've come perilously close, but I've never gotten a shortcut. But yeah, I thought like, you know, that shit, that was like, what did I call it earlier? The spawn of boomerang, basically.
Yeah.
All these successful ass black people just up in each other's business. It was great.
And they were there. Like, if you think about, I mean, obviously there's the like iconic best man.
The best man.
I can't tell you how, like, you know, someone described me as a very controlled person. But I can't tell you that moment, like, I don't care how, like, how hard you are. In the best man where Morris Chestnut is at the altar and he's, you know,
crying,
saying his vows and he's holding back the images, you know what I'm saying, of like seeing his girl, this woman who he loves, like sleeping with his best friend. Like that touched me. You know what I'm saying? I felt that.
Yeah, when he really decided that was his queen.
Yeah. Like he said, you know what? I love this woman. I'm gonna be with this woman. It don't matter.
Oh, I just like Nia Long in that movie just being like just a successful, single, poppin', like television producer. I remember seeing her and being like, I want to be just like Jordan.
She was also so like so open and like comfortable with like, you know, being petty. Like she knew Taye Diggs had a girlfriend. And she was like, nah, but like we got some unfinished business.
Right. She's like, I also don't know who this bitch is.
Yeah, like so... I got some fly ass lingerie. Let's get it poppin'.
When Nia Long thought he was going to come over to have sex with her, and she came out in the lingerie with the robe, and her hair was popped. I was just like, this is what it's like to be grown. You have, like, mad lingerie. You got mad money. First of all, you know, like, that's how you envision your 20s when you're, like, in your fucking, like, when you're a kid.
Yeah.
And then, like, now I'm actually in my later 20s, and I'm like, I actually have two roommates, and I can actually hear a rat piss on cotton in every other room of my house from inside my bed, from underneath the pillow. And actually, like, I have no lingerie. I just have, like, tons of underwear with holes in it. So it's just kind of like, you know, you think you're about to be, like, fly as hell. Yeah. But they set the standard. Like, that's who you wanted to be.
Yeah. I also remember when she, like, cussed him out because he fucked it up. Like, she, yeah, like, really went off on him. Like, I feel like that was my, like, association when I was living that life. Like, I was always fucking it up and just getting cussed out. I missed so many opportunities.
You're always getting cursed out, just period to, yeah, my knowledge. But, yeah.
Sometimes it takes a different approach to help you unlock your true potential. With Capella University's game-changing FlexPath learning format, you gain relevant skills you can apply to your career right away. Earn your degree from an accredited university and be confident in the quality of your education. Imagine your future differently at capella.edu. Capella University is accredited by the Higher Learning Commission. Learn more at capella.edu/accreditation.
If your child is struggling in school, then IXL is right for your family. IXL is an online learning program for kids that covers math, language arts, science, and social studies. Backed by research, kids using IXL are scoring higher on tests. It's no wonder it's used in 95% of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Plus, a month of IXL costs less than an hour of tutoring. Get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when you sign up today at IXL.com/20. Visit IXL.com/20 to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Want to connect with a family member who doesn't speak your language? Then check out the language learning program Rosetta Stone on desktop or as an app. Rosetta Stone is designed to immerse you in the language you're learning through an intuitive process. Plus, the True Accent feature even gives you feedback on your pronunciation. And with a lifetime membership, you have access to all 25 offered languages. Get started today. Visit rosettastone.com/pod50 to get 50% off your lifetime membership now. That's rosettastone.com/pod50 for 50% off.
People are driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. With over 350 million global monthly visitors, Indeed's matching engine helps you find quality candidates fast. You get to ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. It's not just about hiring faster, though. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Don't search. Match with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
But no, like, best man, soul food. Like, soul food, like, people don't talk about soul food.
I watched Soul Food 2 weeks ago.
Are you serious?
I had the flu. Yeah, I watched Soul Food. Like, so the past few weeks I've seen, like, Soul Food, The Best Man, Waiting to Exhale, like all these fucking...
You've been going back in the catalog.
I've been going back in the catalog. It's the same 10 black people in all these. It's, yeah, like basically like a shake and bake. You put it all in the bag, you shake it up, and just see what the fuck
That's
happens.
That's what I'm saying. It's a tier. And the thing is, you know, folks try to hate, like, you know, like you said, like Morris Chestnut, you know what I'm saying, he's not gonna put out a performance that's gonna get recognized as Oscar worthy.
No. Oh, but, well, like, perfect guy. That's his chance. It's changing.
But, like, you know, like him, Nia Long, Sanaa Lathan, you know, like later in the game, Gabrielle Union, mm-hmm, Tay Diggs.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like Terrence Howard. You know, like you know, hate to say it. But
these
are skilled actors. Yeah. Like, these are skilled people at their craft.
Yeah.
You know, like, going back to Soul Food, Bird was like, one, Bird was the normal one of the family. Like,
no. See, I just watched it 2 weeks ago. Sounds weird to say. Vivica Fox.
No.
Yes, she was, because she was the middle. No, because Bird was with Mekhi Phifer, who didn't have no job.
But she knew, like.
No, she didn't know he didn't have no job until she came home. just saw this movie. So she came home in the middle of the day, and she thought that she had an intruder in the house, and really he was in the shower because he was like too afraid to tell her that he didn't have a job, which is like the dumbest plot line in the whole movie. That movie was so motherfucking, where they're like, Big Mama's in the hospital, like died, who died of diabetes. I shouldn't even be laughing.
And
so
she told,
had to get her foot
like,
cut off.
My thing was that she gave this like coded ass clue to this little ass boy about where the money was.
Right.
And like, how the fuck are they supposed to
find it? Right.
It's 12.
Her black ass headed in cash. Like,
yeah, like that's
like her house could have burned down so fucking long ago. And they didn't find none of that money. Yeah, no, and then also too, not only that, they're sitting in the hospital. And this is the only place where Vivica fucked up in the movie. Or Vivica's character, Maxine or something like that.
Yeah.
Was she Big Mom was sitting there with no foot about to die and then they're like, all right, we're gonna cancel Sunday dinner. And she's like, no.
No, I'm like, cooking.
We're cooking. I'm like, are y'all sure this is the week?
It's okay to take a break.
It's okay to have some salad. Like, it's cool. Now, I will say, you know who never was in a movie again, though?
Who?
Fucking Cousin Faith.
Oh.
Cousin Faith, fuck like, the family.
Yo, talk about getting typecasted. Like, I bet she still can't walk down the street.
No, without getting spit on?
Hell yeah. Like, Cousin Faith fucked my husband.
Yeah.
Oh, no, the family fucked my husband.
The family fucked my husband. That's what it was. The family fucked my husband. I really watched that movie because Michael Beach used to be on, like, Chicago Hope or some shit like that. Or some firefighter show, whatever the fuck. But Michael Beach played an asshole in that movie, and then an asshole in some other black ass
he
movie.
He was all like, he is the asshole.
It made
in
me
every
so sad. It made me so
he's a,
fucking
he's a
sad.
Great actor, but you know what I appreciate?
Oh, he
about
played.
Him?
It was Waiting to Exhale. Yeah. When he was like when he left Angela Bassett. But first of all, I also was watching Waiting to Exhale. And I'm looking at him like I'm looking at Lila Rochon in 1995. Mm. God. Damn. And then Angela Bassett, Lord fucking Jesus have mercy, and fucking Whitney Houston. And they're like, I can't find no man. I can't find no man. I'm like, no wonder it's a whole generation of stressed out black women my age. You see this shit when you're 10. That's how you end up rushing and running into the arms of Steve Harvey at, 28, 35.
Or if you Bird, going to Mekhi Phifer.
We're going to Mekhi Phifer.
Ain't got no job.
Ain't got a job.
Although he was a good brother. He was trying.
He was trying. No. Wait.
He had been through some things. He just got out of jail.
Like, you have to rewatch it soon because the first scene where they're having dinner, people just ask each other the bonus questions. Like, why can't you get pregnant? That's so rude. Why did you ask that? They'll have a little squabble, a little fight, and everybody go back to eating. And then the brother-in-law looks at fucking Mekhi Phifer and is like, so why did you get locked up? how come you're not fucking your husband? People fucking just ask each other both that shit.
I mean, sadly, that is how it is. We both have had conversations where it's like, damn, my family just really came at me sideways for no fucking reason.
No fucking reason. But yeah, no, Nia Long was in Soul Food, a black classic.
Yeah, and killed it. In addition to that, Love Jones.
Oh my.
Talk about Love
God.
Jones real
oh,
quick.
That is that bougie buppy.
That was
boho shit.
That was what really introduced there would be no Afropunk right now. Of what Afropunk is right now. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
If it weren't for Love Jones. That shows we could be a little different.
I might watch Love Jones tonight.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, Netflix and, if you think about...
Netflix and chill.
Netflix and chill. What was the movie we talked about?
Oh, Beyond the Lights.
Beyond the Lights.
And Love and Basketball.
But if you're trying to take it back, if it wasn't Love and Basketball, it was Love Jones. You talking about, Netflix and chill. You're trying to get it popping.
I was going to say, my sister's, 6 years older than I am.
Yeah.
And Love Jones and that soundtrack. If you put on D'Angelo Brown Sugar, 1994, or the Love Jones soundtrack for, 1995, 96... It's guaranteed. From what I understand, if you're in that age group, guaranteed.
Yeah. But Love Jones was it was amazing. And it also, that renaissance, showing, all these images, what we could be. Mm-hmm. But also, I thought it was really good, in terms of them being so in touch with their feelings. Nia Long was writing poetry. Hell, fucking Lorenz Tate, that was his job. He was I'm just a writer. How many black men that are successful had a nice ass apartment how he had with
all
over
shit.
The shit but was just out here
writing.
Just writing
a couple I probably dated 40% of them. where is the lie
but again Nia Long turning these amazing iconic performances. And even go back to, you know, Morris Chestnut, like the brothers. Like the brothers gets a little less play. You know, if you think about like The Wood, like The Wood was
The Wood is like the gold standard for like the dude movie.
But the brothers was supposed to be the like slightly like older, let me go across the board.
Well, first of all, it also had Bill Bellamy.
Yeah, Bill Bellamy. You also had D.L. Hughley, randomly. Like, really? D.L. Hughley? Where the fuck is D.L. Hughley?
D.L. Hughley, he be trying to wear so many hats. D.L. Hughley is not a romantic lead. I will say, I think his best bet, because I don't like him that much at stand-up, his best shot really was his little his sitcom. Yeah.
It was good.
Yeah, because he be trying to be on the news, and I'd be like, I don't know about that.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know about that.
I just always used to want that, like, he used to have, like, what is it, like, it's like a Caesar with twists. Like, I always
that.
Thought that
That's
shit
fly.
Was so fly. You know what I'm saying? Like, obviously, I'm bald now, but, you know, back in the... Whatever, I'm not going to go there with you today.
All right.
But back in the day, that was what I was shooting for.
Why are you looking at me with so much contempt?
Kill my goddamn nerve. But anyway, Black Bougie Renaissance, you know what I'm saying? Like, they were out there, like, really just fucking killing it. And even when, probably the moment where we were in the movies the most and what we could probably identify with the most is what I call, like, the flashy black movie period. You know what I'm saying? Like, where we were getting, like, slightly better budgets. Folks was, like, trying shit. If you think about, like, Two Can Play That Game.
Mm-hmm.
Remember Two Can Play That Game? Like,
hell yes.
Like, Vivica Fox, also another black actress who's been killing it for a long time. She had a little bit of a slow period recently. But she's supposed to be coming back.
Did.
She's going to be on Empire. She's going to be Cookie's sister. Big sister.
So you mean to tell me that Cookie, Tasha Smith,
yeah.
and fucking
they family,
Vivica
son.
Fox are
they
sisters?
Family. They are family. I'm
oh
surprised you didn't know
God.
This.
I can't believe I didn't know that. I knew Adam Rodriguez was joining as Cookie's love interest, which is...
No, I'm super hyped because I feel like Vivica been holding all this like blackness up inside,
uh-huh.
and she ain't really had a shot. I feel like, you know, honestly, when she started dating 50 Cent, like folks was like, yo, they kind of like pushed her out to the side.
Uh-huh.
That was kind of when she really, you know, dropped off a little bit. But you know what? It's time. It's her fucking time. She coming back. Like that's like I would rather have no one else play off of Taraji P. Henson in that type of scenario as her sister. She gonna kill that shit. I have faith.
I'm so excited about that.
Yeah.
Oh my God. You know, I met Vivica Fox one time when I was working for the city of Detroit. Naturally, I went to a women's empowerment breakfast that was 6 hours long on a Saturday. And, you know, I was with one of the people that was being honored there. But the keynote.
Mm-hmm.
The keynote speaker was
Vivica Fox.
We were seated at the same table and we had a great conversation.
Just curious, what was the topic of her first speech?
I honestly don't remember. A lot of
that
it was like, give it up to God, get your hair done, work hard. I'm not gonna lie, I understand like Vivica Fox's appeal in movies where she was just real. She seemed like somebody you could know, like a high school girlfriend or a sister or a cousin or an auntie.
Yeah.
Like she definitely does have that.
Yeah.
Yeah, she does have that, like, that feeling in real life.
No, that's accurate. That's real accurate.
Yeah.
Like, and even coming back to that, like, flashy black people, period. Like, Two Can Play That Game was a lot of that shit, too. Like, she was supposed to be like, oh, I'm the working posed woman, but I also keep it real. Like, she was, you know, talking about, like, her friends who couldn't get men, but she had figured it out.
You remember?
She was like, oh, my friends, they can't keep no man, but they don't also, they don't know how to
also,
do it.
Because also, you know, Gabrielle Union was in that movie, and she was, first of all, I remember being young. I was like, probably like, I don't know, I think maybe 13 when I really saw the movie the first time, 13, 15.
Yeah.
I just remember that Gabrielle Union played this hoe named Connie. she was like a professional black woman or whatever.
Yeah.
I just remember she was supposed to be going to work, and but yeah, I just
dating
remember
Keith. More says it's Keith.
Yeah.
Shantae,
exactly. See, yeah, it was Shantae and Connie was like the hoe. I just remember she had like a super high ponytail with like a mid that fell all the way down to her mid back, and she was wearing red tights with a red skirt suit. And I remember thinking like, this doesn't look like anything I've ever seen anybody wear in like a high power corporate office. And I was like, this seems like this might not be so close to reality. But I low-key love to complete that game.
Also, seriously, one of the best like acting performances from Bobby Brown is in Two Can Play That Game.
Wait, like who's wait, does he play Wendy Raquel Robinson?
Yep. He's the one who gets his shit together. He goes through this amazing transformation. Yeah, fucking, like Bobby Brown in the beginning, he's like, I think he had like gap
Mr.
teeth.
Brown.
Yeah.
He like, looks like of Meet the Browns fame. Yes.
So he had like gap teeth. Like he couldn't dress. Like he was like just like real random. And Wendy Raquel Robinson, she like got him together through the course, but then like he was like, "Oh, I'm fly now. I'm
gonna leave you.
I'm out here. I'm out here. You know, hollering at everybody."
It does happen every day.
Yeah,
does happen.
But yeah. but like Bobby Brown killed that shit. The only other like really really good Bobby Brown performance is A Thin Line Between Love and Hate. When he was the best friend.
Oh, my fucking... People be forgetting Bobby Brown.
Bobby Brown!
Got these acting credits.
Yo, Bobby Brown. Bobby Brown's a talented dude.
You know like, what?
Troubled.
Troubled. Poor little Bobby Brown. Yeah. Poor Bobby Brown.
He's been through some things.
Yeah.
And put people through some things. But
yeah, this is true also.
Talented brother.
Yeah, he is. Yeah, he's a talented guy. You know, the Kang of R&B, according to... my late sister Whitney.
Yeah. May God rest her soul.
And you know what? You know, speaking of them, I can't ever mention the two of them together. Yes, may God rest her soul, and Bobby Christina as well. But I can never mention the two of them without thinking of that their Bravo reality show when they're shopping for with sunglasses.
Yeah.
And they be like, it worked. They worked for me. It worked. And they start fucking dancing in the department store. And they're like, all right, let's go get something to eat.
Bobby Brown knew what the people wanted. You know what I'm saying? Like, he knew how to give the people what they wanted.
Yes.
And he did it consistently.
Anyway,
coming back to Two Can Play That Game. Yeah. But, you know, don't sleep on Bobby Brown. But Two Can Play That Game, like, that was one of the, like so many movies kind of came, like, tumbled in after that. If you think about, even you talked about Gabrielle Union, Deliver Us From Evil was another, like, flashy black movie.
Yeah. You know, Gary, who was the guy?
Megan Good was also
Megan
in that.
Megan Good was his sister.
Oh, LL Cool J.
Yeah. Oh, and did they reunite? No, Daddy's Girls. I was going to say they reunited in Daddy's Girls, but Daddy's Little Girls was
Idris Elba. Right? Yeah. But no, like, that flashy black movie period was, like, so fun. And also, the other real good Nia Long movie from that period, she kind of did the flip thing while I would say Morris Chestnut was focused on like the
strong black male lead kind of thing.
She was all about like kind of the family roles, but she had some hits. So if you think about like Big Mama's House.
That's right.
And Are We There Yet? Like
that's right.
Both of those movies made money and was still the same kind of like deal. You know what I'm saying? Like a mostly black cast, comedy, but it was just
super
like
high key lighting, super bright colors, and all that. You
like
know.
Fun, like fast editing, quick cuts.
Yeah,
quick
cuts, lots of slapstick. Yeah,
yeah, but like I mean, those movies like really, really fucking killed and made a lot of money.
Yeah,
folks slept. Mm-hmm. And I just don't understand why they don't get they just do. And like so, after that, they were. I think they both like Nia Long and Morris Chestnut really. I mean, I think people saw them because after that period, folks were like, oh. Maybe we should take, you know, a few of these black people and just put them in, like, you know, these movies that are, like, almost close to being something. Like, Nia Long was in, like, Alfie.
That's right. I was actually thinking about that the other day. Yeah, she was in Alfie.
She did, like, Alfie. She did, like, Boiler Room, which is another movie that was supposed to, like,
that
hit.
Was, I used to love that movie.
It's a pretty good movie.
I've seen the movie probably 75 times.
One of Vin Diesel's best films.
You know, I made my mama go see XXX on her birthday because I was so in love with Vin Diesel when I was 13.
Oh, Vin Diesel was the man.
Vin Diesel was the man. People, somebody, and they know who they are. Mm-hmm. They think that I'm crazy for thinking that Vin Diesel is attractive and appealing, but you're wrong.
He's a handsome guy.
He's
weirder than I ever would have anticipated as a person.
Oh, yeah, he's so weird.
Like, I mean, to an amazing degree.
Yeah,
he's fascinating to me as a person. But, yeah, but he's a handsome guy,
yeah,
for
I like
sure.
Him.
But... No, like, so, like, and if you think about Morris Chestnut movies, they didn't quite work. Morris Chestnut had, like, a few of those, like Steven Seagal movies that, like...
He had three Steven Seagal movies. Steven Seagal was that dude for, like, a year and a half in 1992.
Yeah, like, that was also kind of a flashy black movie period. It was when it started to, like, trickle off. But, like, Steven Seagal was killing it back then.
Oh, yeah. Black people, there are two action stars that will never die in the minds and hearts and eyes of black people.
Yeah.
That's Steven Seagal and motherfucking Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Yeah. And And Steven Seagal is such an unlikely fucking, like, he never really moved fast.
He's like this thick-ass white man with this Yaki ponytail doing karate all the time. Like, what the fuck?
And, like, everything was with his hands. And, like, towards the end, he was also, like, thick is a generous word. No, Steven Seagal's still alive.
Oh, okay.
He's still out there doing some shit.
I got stressed.
Wait, he is still alive, right?
Yeah, look at him. S-E-A-G-A-L.
I know how to spell it.
I was just...
No,
clarifying.
He's still alive. I heard he's also kind of like medium racist. It wouldn't be surprising.
I was going to say, I mean, like,
I heard him say like some crazy shit.
Yeah, I mean, not to generalize, but like, I would say your average American white person is like, what did you say?
Medium racist.
medium racist.
Yeah, like, not quite, you know, like, gonna make the news.
Yeah.
But like, says some shit where everybody's like,
I don't know about that. Or like, even like, your average white person is going to be like, I don't know if you should have said that.
Yeah. Like, I feel like small to low racist is just like, oh, somebody just kind of let it pass. Like, I ain't tripping off of that.
Yeah.
I love them still.
Yeah.
But like, he's definitely on the medium racist.
Yeah.
But anyway, going back to killing it with the tangents today.
Yeah.
But no, going back to these like movies that like didn't quite hit. Morris Chestnut had like Mike. Remember Like Mike? Like Mike was supposed to be something.
First of all, because
Bow Wow.
Bow Wow. I was in love with Bow Wow. Bow Wow was 2'8" and I thought he was the finest little boy on the face of the planet. Of course I saw Like Mike in theaters. But that's right. He was in Like Mike.
He was in Like Mike.
Playing a professional athlete again, which is bizarre to me, but okay.
He also did that he did the Anacondas sequel.
Oh, I've seen Anacondas multiple times, yes.
You're talking about the one with Morris Chestnut, right?
Yeah. I've seen Anaconda and Anacondas, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've seen both, obviously.
That is how you distinguish Anacondas.
Anacondas, yeah.
But no, that's true. And actually, that movie was actually pretty decent. Like,
yeah, it was. I've seen it probably 17 times. My best friend in high school was watching it like every day. Yep, it did come on Stars. That's how I saw it.
But I mean, so like to bring it back, like, you know, there was, I feel like, a little bit of a lull. Nia Long has been kind of consistently, like, she's been doing like bit parts here and there. Mm-hmm. But I'm really excited because like both Morris Chestnut really killing it right now. He's got the perfect man.
Perfect guy.
Perfect guy. Sorry. Uh-huh. And he's also got fucking Rosewood, which is coming out on Fox, which looks like surprisingly good. And like, one, they got a budget.
Oh, they got money.
It is flashy. Like, so Rosewood's coming out on Fox.
He plays like a coroner.
Yeah.
No, not a coroner. A medical examiner in Miami, yeah.
Yeah, and he's like the title character.
Yeah.
Beaumont Rosewood. Because those are two names that are going to go together.
Yeah. I love television writing. I just think it's hilarious. Yeah.
But he's like this, like, almost like movie star-esque, like, medical examiner. Yeah. Very flashy.
Hot shot medical examiner. You know the type.
Call me Rosie. Yeah. But it's a cool show in that like he's the lead. The female lead is a Latina actress.
Yeah.
I can't remember her name.
I can't remember her name, but it's set in Miami, so those two things are like decently accurate.
Yeah, and logical. There's like very few white people in the show.
Yeah.
And like, so to have that budget, to have Morris Chestnut finally be the lead, and it's getting a pretty decent push marketing wise. Like, I've seen they're actually
Subway
banners and stuff like that. So like, I'm really excited. And Nia Long, you know, has also, like I said, she's been kind of consistent. Like,
yeah, she
always
has been.
Being
yeah.
somewhere.
Yeah.
But she's got Uncle Buck, which is coming out.
Uncle Buck, you know what? You had me watch the trailer this morning, and it looks good.
It's cute. The pilots are always super cheesy.
Yeah.
But I think they're going to figure out the rhythm the same way Black-ish did.
Yeah, you know? And Black-ish got so good.
Yeah, it got a lot better. Like, once they figured out what they really wanted to do, like,
and Mike, I mean, first of all, Mike Epps is fucking hilarious.
Yeah.
And, like, in general, actually, watching the trailer stressed me out, kind of, because I was looking at that, and I was like, oh, God, I'm going to be Uncle Buck. But like, it's like, it's me. But no, he was hilarious, and like Nia Long looked like she actually had shit to do.
Yeah,
which is nice. It's like a welcome change for like, you know, most black actresses. They get to do like comedic work. And Regina Hall was in the pilot, which I'm just hoping, is she going to be like a series regular? I want her to be.
I'm not sure.
Even if she's just a recurring character, Lord have mercy. Regina Hall, that's another person actually who kind of falls in. She's fucking gorgeous.
Mm-hmm.
Actually. You know who wrote a good article about Regina Hall this year? Soraya. We'll include it in the show notes. She wrote a great article about Regina Hall this year, and just about kind of like the same thing, how she's been like working forever, and like people like love her. People who she works with like love her, and they think she's really great. She's fucking hilarious. She can really act. She's got something coming out soon with, I think, Jemaine Hall from Flight of the Conchords.
And I think that movie is actually
out already.
I think it's definitely making the independent circuit.
Okay, because like if it's out, I'm going to go see that.
Yeah,
I'm
no, that does go look really good.
It looks really, really good. But yeah, just, you know, yeah, she's, you know, the same kind of like, all, like making, she was in The Best Man. Shit.
I mean, Regina Hall, actually, real talk, if you want to talk about doesn't get their just due. Like, Nia Long and Morris Chestnut, you know, they're relatively celebrated in our community. Yeah. In the sense of, like, again, you got Morris Chestnut. Like, folks, you know, folks will go real hard for Morris Chestnut. And Nia Long has been, like, I mean, the GOAT.
Oh, forever.
For a long time. Yeah. Like, it's a lot. Like, it took a lot for me to let that go, you know, to realize, like,
you weren't going to marry her?
Yeah, you know.
I know. Actually, I'm going to give you, surprise. I can actually quote you verbatim saying that Nia Long could get you to stay home all day, take care of her children, as long as she, when she came home at nighttime, she let you lay down and smell her hair.
Oh, yeah. That's accurate.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously not now. You know what
yeah,
I'm saying?
No, like, No. You, I mean, yeah.
But back in the day, like, my life could have went a completely different route. Yeah. We had just, you know, actually met. You know, she would have understood that, like, you know, I would have held her down.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sitting here inside this little studio right here, and I'm like, is it just that we don't have the AC on, or is this Eric's swag slowly choking me? I don't know.
I mean,
it could go either way.
My life could have been very different, you know? I would have been out here on that Dave Chappelle Oprah money. Like that, like that literally, like that would have been me with Nia Long, like straight up. But Regina Hall doesn't get like, she don't get much love. Like Regina Hall's also been out here working.
Well, you know, actually, that's even how I felt last night when I saw The Perfect Guy. And I think about the way that Sanaa Lathan. If we just talk about Sanaa Lathan, let me actually Google her training because like, she's one of these, I want to say she went to Stanford and Yale. Like, first of all, her father's Stan Lathan. If you don't know who Stan Lathan is, get fucking Google. Because I don't have the time to explain that to your ass. But, like, yeah, she graduated from the University of California at Berkeley with a degree in English. And then she also got a degree from the Yale School of Drama. Huh? Yeah, so, like, Sanaa Lathan is, like, fucking trained. And, like, obviously, we all remember, like, her breakout performance was Love and Basketball. But also she had other great stuff over the years. Like she did Disappearing Acts with Wesley Snipes for HBO. Obviously she was also in The Best Man. Obviously also in The Best Man Holiday. She has played just about everybody's girlfriend and wife. She was also in The Wood, I believe.
Yeah.
Something New. She was really good. She's a really good actress. I think she was also in Alien versus Predator.
She was.
Yeah.
She
was. She's
Out of Time. She was really good in Out of Time with Denzel.
Oh, yeah. I didn't see that.
I thought that was going to make her hit. It was a really good movie.
I never saw that one. But I do remember her playing. I do remember her playing his wife, I think, in that. Was that who it was? Or was she like love interest?
No, she was a love interest.
But yeah, no. But like Sanaa Lathan, like I was looking at her in this movie last night and I was like, you know, it was a fun popcorn movie. But I was like, this woman, you know, she's trained at like the best possible place. She was, you know. To make this about race, because everything is. If this were a white girl who was, because the other thing about Sanaa Lathan is fucking gorgeous.
Yeah.
Like, literally the whole time you're sitting there watching the movie, and I was just like, oh my God, look at her butt, look at her face, look at her hair, like, look at her smile, look at her laugh. Like, she's fucking gorgeous. She's so talented. She's also, what, like 39, 42 years old?
43.
Sanaa Lathan is 40 fucking 3 years old?
I mean.
No, it says so right here. You're right. But Sanaa Lathan is 43 years old. I mean, she looks fucking awesome. This is a woman whose father was a very powerful, longstanding, powerful producer, right? Yeah. It was mother is an actress, was a stage actress, was educated at some of the best institutions that the world has to offer for her chosen profession, and has, like, you know, had her breakout role like 15 years ago, you know, and still has obviously kept herself up to an inspirational degree, if I do say so. If she was white, she wouldn't be starring in A Perfect Guy. Do you know what I mean? Like, same thing with like Morris Chestnut or Nia Long. Even like I said earlier, like, I don't necessarily think of Morris Chestnut as having Don Cheadle or Denzel Washington talent, but like, I hate to name names, but like, Bradley Cooper? Do you know what I'm saying?
My thing is, like, even like a, like, look at how many shots, like how many chances on like big, big ass films. Taylor, what's his name? Taylor Lautner? The guy from the vampire movie.
Oh, he been in more movies?
Yeah. Like, and also the other guy, Taylor Kitsch, I think is his name.
Oh.
From like John Carter of Mars. And he was just in like,
you can tank True a big Detective. Ass movie. Yeah.
Yeah, but like, ain't nobody giving Morris Chestnut no shot.
Ain't nobody giving. And the thing is that if Morris Chestnut is in a movie, I'll go. I can't explain why. People will show. I told you, Court Street was full last night. So Court Street was full. So was Magic Johnson. So was fucking Star Southfield. Shout out Detroit. I'm serious. Yeah. All those things. Must have been tons of screens that were full.
Yeah. So that's why I'm excited that they can get, you know, there's an opportunity. And it's not surprising that people are finding those opportunities in TV, if you think about it. Like, TV is really where it's at. Like, almost, you have more chances to do cooler shit in TV now.
And you can fail at TV and still be able to kind of do, because the cycle is that, like, every year, every six months, there's a crop of new shows.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's like, you try a show, it doesn't work, you can probably try again in a year, it'll be fine.
So hopefully Rosewood hits. Hopefully Uncle Buck hits.
Yeah.
And, you know, Morris Chestnut, Nia Long can get, you know, some of the shine that they rightfully fucking deserve.
They do, cause like I said, if they were white, Nia Long was white, she'd probably be like, I don't even want to sit here and name names. People be salty because I'm naming out all these untalented white people that be at the Oscars every year. I'm serious. It's some white people that are at the Oscars every year, and I'm like, kind of like, why? Or maybe they did a good performance, but like I wouldn't necessarily categorize them as like, you know, being like so much more like Cate Blanchett can act her motherfucking ass off.
Yeah.
All them white girls that be at the Oscars don't act like Cate Blanchett. Yeah. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, y'all ain't all Meryl Streep.
Yeah.
You just aren't. You aren't. And maybe also if given like certain types of material. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know what Sanaa Lathan or Nia Long or could be doing if they were given something that was
on the lines of a Jennifer Lawrence, even a Maggie Gyllenhaal.
Yeah, like, shit. Well, that's my girl. You know, I like her too.
I'm saying
Amy fucking Adams.
Yeah,
I mean Amy Adams has, I'd be lukewarm on Amy.
I'm a little lukewarm.
I don't, because it's just kind of like, I'll put you like this. There's nothing that she's done like she's been given good material. I think that she's been able to do interesting work, but there's nothing that she's done in the past that would make me be like, I need to pick her over anybody else. Do you know what I'm saying?
That's fair. I've seen
her. She could have been plucked from the crowd. She kind of was plucked from the crowd the same way that, like, people are kind of like, all right, Reese Witherspoon is about 33. We got to put her out to pasture.
Yeah.
Who's next?
I will say she was really good in American Hustle. Amy Adams was pretty good in American Hustle.
I believe it. And the thing is, though, is that, like, you can get, like, when you are put in more challenging work situations.
Yeah. You grow.
You grow. Exactly. And, like, I was talking to a friend of mine who's from Puerto Rico. And he was saying something that, how do I put it? I can't remember what movie we were talking about. It could have been The Perfect Guy. It could have been something else. And he's talking, he's like, my mom wants to go see it, blah, blah, blah. He's like telling his mom, like, I don't think it's going to make it to Puerto Rico. Mm-hmm. And then I was like, well, why? Like, it's fucking popular, you know, here. Like, why would it not go there? Basically, he was telling me kind of like an anecdote about how only certain like maybe a Soul Plane or like a White Chicks will come to Puerto Rico, but not like necessarily, unless it's maybe like a Best Man or something like that. A lot of these kind of like regular black movies that we just mentioned are not always going to make it out there.
And that's crazy in itself if you think about it.
Oh, it's like, levels to that shit. But that's a main reason why a lot of these people can't get the work that they deserve or get work as often as they might like to. Because even, you know, for every Nia Long and Morris Chestnut, there's like 10 people who are about as talented and probably came out around the same time and probably have about the same amount of training and know the same people who can't even get the amount of work that they're getting, right?
Yeah.
So they're doing the same kinds of shit, just maybe less often. Those opportunities are hard to come by because the general thought is that, you know, because of just like, you know, international anti-blackness, a lot of times black movies don't always do well overseas because some people don't want to look at black people. Mm. You know what I'm saying? So like, y'all, if any of you have like actual information about the numbers to that, please let us know. I'd be curious to look at the numbers behind that because I don't know if that's necessarily true, but that's like something that a lot of studio executives lean on when they're like,
international distribution is going to be tough.
Yeah, they're like, and exactly, international distribution is going to be tough because like, it's a black film full of black people. No one wants to see that. So it's harder for those kinds of projects to get financed and to get the distribution they deserve.
I think, honestly, you know who surprisingly I think has talked a lot about that, and I'm trying to remember where. Kevin Hart. I think
you're probably right.
I don't know if it was on The Breakfast Club or somewhere else, but he was talking about maybe some of his struggles to like with some of the movies he's had and like in distribution. I'm gonna try to find that and put that in the show.
Yeah, I actually do find that and put that in the show. But yeah, that's something. When I was younger, when I was a kid, I wanted to be an actress, and then once I kind of realized that like there's no work. I remember reading I read an interview. as like a teenager with Cassie Lemons, the woman who wrote and directed Eve's Bayou, and she did a few other things like Black Nativity and some other stuff.
Eve's Bayou.
We could do an entire episode on Eve's Bayou. That movie's fucking perfect. That movie's fucking perfect. At that point in time, it was one of the highest grossing independent films of all time.
Yeah.
Written and directed by a black woman, entirely black cast of all different classes and colors of black people in Louisiana in the 50s. Like, do you know what I'm saying? And it was just a family drama. It, like, there wasn't even a lynching scene in the entire fucking movie. Do you know what it's like to see a period drama with black folks where it ain't no damn lynching scene?
Yeah.
Look at God. Yeah. She said that the reason why she even wrote Eve's Bayou in the first place is because she's like, you know, I was a black actress. I spent a lot of time sitting waiting for the phone to ring. Like, I couldn't get any fucking work. So I remember, like, reading that and kind of being like, all right, I want to be an actress. And also, one of these ugly little white boys I went to high school with told me that I was funny looking. Mm. I would pay money to see what he looked like for fucking now. Rob. I'm not going to say your last government name, but I will fucking name you. So I was like, all right, maybe I'm not going to be an actress. But that's when I kind of decided I wanted to do casting. You remember when I was younger, that was like the thing. Yeah. So I had done like casting internships and stuff like that. I interned in casting at VH1 when they were just starting to like start to VH1 and Logo. So like I was at Logo before Drag Race when they were starting to get that shit together. Yeah. And then I was at VH1 when they were really starting to ramp up their reality TV show efforts.
Sounds like a fun time.
Oh, the shit was fucking crazy. But learning about like there are so few black people that get to a certain point in casting where like you can really bring in the right people. There's a woman now, I think her name is Tracy, I think might be her first name, but she goes by Twinkie is her nickname. Twinkie Bird did, I first noticed her in Notorious. I saw Notorious and I was like, I used to pay attention to casting of fucking everything. But yeah, I saw Notorious and I was like, who found all of these different black people that I had never seen before who did a really good job? It's Twinkie Bird. She also did Empire, which I think she did an amazing job with. And like, if you really look at her work, she's done a lot of different kinds of black stuff. But for like, you know, there are 15... Like, because casting is mostly a women's game.
Yeah.
There's reasons why, traditionally, whatever. But, like, for every Twinkie Bird, there are, like, 15 to 20 white women who are, like, fucking casting every single other thing else.
Yeah.
And, like, they're not going to necessarily make the same choice. They're not going to, they're not going to make those choices.
Like, whoever did whatever the latest Nora Ephron movie is.
Yeah.
Like, the intern, you know. Hey. I ain't seen a black person in that trailer.
Now, listen, first of all, I know you didn't see a black person in the trailer, but I'm going to tell you what. I'm gonna admit something.
Oh, that's good movie.
Oh yeah, no. But I'm gonna say I'm gonna admit something, which is that it's a Nancy Meyers film.
Oh,
Nora Ephron been dead. apologize. Look, stop. Because Nancy Meyers is my fucking bitch. Nancy Meyers, if you're ever listening to this show, which you probably never will, if you come on, girl, we're gonna have a good fucking time. I'm gonna ask you lots of questions about fucking something's gotta give. Do you know how good fucking Diane Keaton was in that motherfucking movie? Anyway,
good
I'm saying
movies,
is,
but like, yeah, no, but it, movies be
white,
lily white,
whew.
Like to like it's
no. And actually, Chris Rock talked about that in his Hollywood Reporter thing. He's like, I don't understand why Kerry Washington. He's like, if you put Kerry Washington and he named some other older black woman, he's like, you should have Kerry Washington in a Nancy Meyers film every Christmas. He was like, you have it every Christmas. You and your mom go see it. Y'all have a good time. But do you know how fucking lit a Nancy Meyers movie with fucking Nia Long, Kerry Washington, and Sanaa Lathan would be? And they all play sisters. And Felicia Rashad was a mama.
I mean, it would make hella money. That's why
I'm crying right now. This should be so fucking good.
That's why, I mean, you said she should come on the show. We would have a good discussion.
Yes.
I got some questions.
I got questions. But yeah, no, there's a marzipan layer that like every black actor of a certain age, especially of their age, just hits. You know what I mean? Where they kind of get stuck or they can do lead. Like if they're going to be able to do like be in a really great, like a really good, like better, how do I put it, more critically acclaimed, maybe higher quality, bigger budget film, they're going to play like a mid-level to bit part. Mm-hmm. And if they're going to be a leading actor, they're going to be in something like The Perfect Guy, which is fine, but like you didn't go to Yale Drama School because you wanted to
be stalked by
Michael Ealy, right? You know what I'm saying?
Although Michael Ealy is also another one. Yeah. I was shocked. Michael Ealy has been working hard. Like he's been on The Following and actually is pretty good
and
on
Michael that. Ealy looks good too.
He's a handsome guy.
Yeah, he's fine. You know, I'm not really into that light eyes thing.
That's what I was about to say. Like, a lot of folks be like, them eyes. I feel like that's somebody's grandma. He got them eyes.
He gonna stray. That's actually my friend Keith. He always says, like, you can't trust a man with light eyes. They always stray. But yeah, no, there's like they get stuck there. There's actually, which I sent to you, a good article that we had referenced before in the
I think I know what you're talking about.
It was the Gabrielle Union write up that Rembert did like I don't know a year and a half ago.
Yeah.
Where he talked specifically about Gabrielle Union, how she played a high school student for like
forever
15 years.
Yeah,
but
great.
Like he does a really good he kind of picks that general dynamic apart of how you can be a black actor and be working constantly, stacking legitimate money.
Yeah.
Constantly getting like you know how many you know what a residual check must look like for the best man?
Woo!
You know what I'm saying?
Or like even, the wood? No. If you're talking about Gabrielle Union, talking about goddamn, what's
Bring it on?
Bring it on.
Lord have mercy. Yeah. Right. You know what I mean? So like she's you know, stacking real money, doing like working prolifically, but just not getting like the meteor kind of like he wrote this, I think, right as Being Mary Jane was going to come out. But yeah, not getting the vehicle or the work that they deserve,
or even just being a consistent part of like the discourse. Like not many people like you don't like honestly, you don't have many people. It's not many conversations breaking down like, you know, the amazing performances of Nia Long or just any other black actresses out here. You know what I'm saying? Like, nobody's sitting there saying, like, hey, you know, Gabrielle Union, yo, she's really, like, she's just fucking talented. Like,
yeah,
if you look at what she's been doing, like, she's really fucking talented. Like, nobody's really having those in-depth conversations about black performances.
No.
And why they aren't, like, transcending.
I watched Waiting to Exhale last weekend because I told you I've been going down a rabbit hole of the 90s. But no, see, now we actually got to talk because actually I went back. I think we saw two completely different things because we have different. We just
viewpoint.
Yeah,
so we got to provide some background. So we almost did an episode
on
Waiting to Exhale, and I went back and watched it, and I was like, yo, I was texting you. I was like, yo, I'm stressed.
Yeah, because I actually didn't even rewatch it because you were like, nah. But then I actually went back and watched it last weekend, and I was like, why didn't Eric want to do it? Because the other thing is that like what that movie is about, the same way that you watch Boomerang, and you're like so much, like you can see that the movie is what it is, right?
Yeah,
but it's super fun, it's super awesome. But like
the
thing is that also like I told you, there's so much of it. I was just like, I don't understand this.
Yeah.
But, like I see Waiting to Exhale and like
maybe we gotta come back.
We gotta come back to that because I watched Waiting to Exhale and I was like so many things about that movie and about female friendships, like black female friendships and like the fictive kinship of like black sisterhood.
Yeah, but they didn't even really. Okay,
it's not,
I don't want to go. I don't want to go there too much because I think this, you know, this could be a good.
This could be a good conversation.
But the only thing about like that part that I will say is like the part that, because that's what I thought I would see more of.
Yeah,
but it didn't feel like they really liked each other.
Oh, see, this is the thing. There were little things that they did, or there's certain like there were little things that they did, or little things that they said, or conversations that they had, where I was just like, oh. There's like we should have a conversation about it at a different point in time. But what I wanted to say was that there's this one scene. I didn't realize how good it was. It was between, and it makes sense too, because it's just like this extended conversation between Wesley Snipes and Angela Bassett.
Oh yeah, that was the best part of the movie, to be honest with you.
I mean, and I was sitting there and I was just like, when do you? And I loved it. It was well shot. I mean, it was any movie with a whole bunch of black people, because it was done by who? Forest Whitaker.
Yeah.
It was actually beautifully shot. Like when you get to see
the edit was rough though.
It
was beautifully shot.
Yeah, the lighting was very good. You know, you gotta light a whole bunch of black people. Most of the time, white people don't know what the fuck they're doing when they're lighting black people. So to see like a black film with black people done by a black man, that was like. Oh, I was like, oh, you actually gave this thought. So you're like looking at these beautiful ass black people in this really like, you know, romantic kind of like cool looking scene. And Angela Bassett is so fucking good. I didn't even really realize how good Wesley was really into, because most of the time you see him in kind of like more action kind of stuff.
Yeah. Wesley Snipes is another, but he kind of chose his path. But
well, yeah, Wesley Snipes also ain't paying his fucking taxes.
Yeah.
You can't be black and not pay your taxes and bounce back.
I mean, this dick ain't free.
This dick ain't free.
But
that scene, I remember watching that scene and thinking like, oh God, it's so rare that I see two super talented black people just in a scene, like just doing something interesting. It was just cool to see two black people in a romantic drama, not fucking, which is fine.
Yeah.
And then all, but also not following Steve Harvey's fucking rules for fucking success or whatever the fuck. And not like engaging in some sort of like caper or slapstick. So it wasn't a straight up like love scene, but it wasn't like a bunch of bullshit. It wasn't a whole bunch of histrionics. It was just like a scene that started in one place and actually went someplace else.
It was a very honest discussion of like love and like disappointment and feeling almost remorseful for where you are in your life.
Yeah. And that, and like, and how rare is it? Like, you know, I think about like somebody like, how many times has Meryl Streep gotten out? Because I'm going to tell you what, and you can quote me on this, and I don't care who's fucking pissed off. Angela Bassett is every fucking bit as good as Meryl Streep. Every motherfucking bit as good. And fuck you if you disagree. I'm serious. Angela Bassett, like, she does. What she does with what she's given sometimes is transcendent. Can you imagine if she was given these Meryl Streep parts, what the fuck Angela Bassett would be fucking doing?
Yeah.
Like, it ain't no fucking excuse for Angela Bassett to be in a Tyler Perry movie. There's no mother... Like, you know, fine if she's doing that. It's fine that she's on American Horror Story, but there's no reason for Angela Bassett to be doing... Like, Meryl Streep ain't on American Horror Story, and Angela Bassett is every motherfucking bit as good.
Yeah.
And it's just kind of like, you know, if she was given a Meryl Streep-type role... She should be offered 10 of those every year. Every year of her life, she should be offered 10 of those, and it doesn't happen. And, like, that's another one, Yale Drama School. Angela Bassett could act you under a motherfucking table. And, like, you know, she's doing okay. But have you seen what she even looks like recently?
I mean, she looks gorgeous. She still looks amazing. I think, I mean, honestly, it's one of those things, like, it's certain actors and actresses or certain actors, I just hate their agent. You know, like, whoever it is that's, like, and, I mean, partly their agent is putting them in what they can put them in.
Yeah.
But also, I feel like a lot of them, you know, don't realize the effects of pushing, you know, this really good actor into this film that's, like, meh. And, like, what that's going to do to them for the next round, movie.
Yeah.
You know? And, like, Angela Bassett is one of those people who I feel like really kind of got, like, hit with that. Like, honestly, she did What's Love Got to Do with It and Malcolm X around the same time.
Yeah.
But then went to, like, Vampire in Brooklyn and, like, Strange Days. And then, like, Waiting to Exhale, she showed out. She showed out.
Oh, yeah. No.
You know what I'm saying? But the mainstream movies that she did that could have, like, made her pop were somewhat poor choices and like, poor material.
But the thing is, though, is that, like, but think about what everybody else is allowed. Like, she came back.
I know.
Because how Stella Got Her Groove Back is a really well-done romantic drama. That's a really fun movie. She's gorgeous in it. She's good in it.
Yeah.
Like, even just the scenes with her and Whoopi Goldberg being friends. Yeah. Like, Lord, those were so good. But, like, everybody else is allowed to make a shitty movie or five bounce fucking back. And it's just like
you said, Bradley Cooper, he made a whole bunch of really terrible movies before he popped.
Yeah.
A whole bunch of them.
I don't think about Bradley Cooper like that. And, like, I'd be so confused whenever I, like, yesterday they had a fucking trailer for Joy, the new, I think it is David O. Russell. With Jennifer Lawrence, your girl, Robert De Niro, and then, like, and, you know, Virginia Madsen, all these other people who are, like, Isabella Rossellini. It's going to be good. It's probably going to be good. It's definitely
going to
be
David O. Russell.
Yeah. It's going to sweep at the fucking Oscars or whatever. But, like, I saw Bradley Cooper's face and I was like, you again. You know what I mean?
He's actually kind of hit or miss, to be honest with you. Like,
I don't
get it twisted. I think he's a good actor. Yeah. Maybe this is a tangent, but he is hit or miss. Like, he has movies like, he'll do his movies where, like, folks are like, oh, this is Oscar worthy. Then he'll do, like, I think it was, like, The Words with, like, Zoe Saldana or something like that.
Yeah, though. I mean, was that the one where they were in the Caribbean, or I think a different movie?
Nah, that's Aloha. Exactly. Like, you know.
Oh, yeah. What's that other girl's name? Emma Stone?
Emma Stone.
Emma Stone.
Is also talented.
She's talented,
but
like you know what I'm saying? Like, I a lot of the time, like, the older I get and the more, like, my parents used to complain, like, I don't want to go to the movies because it's the same
people,
white people
over and over again.
Yeah. And I'd be like, oh, whatever, blah, blah. And now I'm just like, we going to make another Emma Stone vehicle? Like, we're going to make four this year?
And in that, like, they worked so hard to put her in that. That was the one where she was supposed to be half Asian. You hear about this?
No, I know. I'm
like, they worked real fucking hard to make her so white.
You know.
But, like, to keep, you know, to, like, change up.
Yeah. Like, I can't even. That shit rendered me speechless. So like, you know, if y'all don't keep giving all these other fucking people chances, I would like to see there. I have a long list of black folks. Neil Long and Morris Chestnut are obviously on that list, but I have a long
list of
black.
Okay, it's a lot of folks who need a push.
Yeah,
you know, I mean, and not to say, you know, not need a push because they're struggling, like. Just because they don't get the shine. Regina Hall is another really good example of somebody who could use a push. I was gonna say, like, actually,
I have a dark horse.
Nate Parker is another one who could
Nate
use
Parker,
a push.
He could use a push, but he's. I think eventually he and Regina Hall are actually both gonna be okay. I got a dark horse.
I'm ready.
Megan Good. I have faith in Megan Good.
Well, you know, she got a series coming out.
I know. I don't think anything's gonna happen with that. Yeah. Megan Good, like,
and
actually,
also her husband is holding her down.
Her husband is so fine.
Stop.
He is. No, but he seems like a cool guy.
They're a cute couple.
They are a cute couple. A lot of people are mad because, like, people are like, oh, Megan Good says she's a Christian now. First of all, that's none of your motherfucking business. People are like, oh, she was celibate for. First of all, shut the fuck up. People are just mad because she is pretty and she's
not afraid to, like,
no, she's not afraid to show it off, and she got a fine ass husband, and all y'all sit out here
and
fucking,
she love her guy,
and she love her guy, and she's all y'all sitting here reading these damn Steve Harvey books, bitter than a motherfucker, sitting in church with your Steve Harvey books, bitter than a motherfucker, because this woman with the booty shorts got your man. Yeah, y'all are mad. But yeah, no, actually, if you really go back and actually look at the stuff that Megan Good's been in, she's actually pretty fucking good. But no. Go back and watch Brick. Go back and watch Brick.
That's fair. No, I'll give you that.
But this
one, that was just also a really, really well-written movie. It would be hard for anybody in that to be bad.
All I'm saying is this. Why can't she, like...
Why can't she get good material?
Yeah, why can't she get good material? There's plenty of white girls out there being movies after movies that can't read no damn script. Like, how many chances we give Lindsay Lohan?
Oof.
You know what I'm saying? Oof. White people don't even fuck with Lindsay Lohan. Yeah. How many chances we give Lindsay Lohan?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And Megan Good, she just want to go to church and act. You know what I'm saying? She just want to go to church and act.
She don't want no trouble.
She don't want no trouble. She just want to go to church and act in a couple of films. And why can't y'all give Lindsay Lohan all these? You know how much insurance Lindsay Lohan costs?
Oh, my God.
Jesus. You know what I'm saying? But, like, I'm just saying, like, I'm not sitting out here saying, you know, Megan Good's going to win some Oscars one day. That's not necessarily what I'm saying. What I'm saying is just, like, it's a whole stable of black actors that, like, deserve some more. Like, deserve a larger piece of the pie. And, like, I feel like, you know, like, your Morris Chestnuts and your Sanaa Lathans and your Nia Longs are, like, the tip of the iceberg. Yeah. And, like, beneath the surface, there's
like,
just
so many.
Dozens more.
So many.
Yeah.
Well, it's been fun.
It's been fun.
I want to go back and watch Wait and Exhale. I'm definitely going to go back and watch Soul Food. Like, Soul Food was the fucking movie. And also, like, I'm viewing life through a different lens now. You know what I'm saying? So, like, I want to...
Wait, say more about that.
Well, no. I mean, honestly, Soul Food is interesting because it captures many different pieces and stages of black life.
Uh-huh.
You know what I'm saying? Like, there is... You got Bird and Makai Fife.
That's true.
Who are, like, young, coming up.
Yep, young, coming up. Whippersnappers. You got the formerly incarcerated brother-in-law.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? But
owns a hair salon. Every black movie, somebody owns a hair salon. I also realized, watching all this shit, everybody owns a hair salon.
But then you also got, like, you know, Vivica Fox and... what's his name?
Yeah,
oh,
he was cute, too. Yeah, I can't remember his name.
Shit. I'm doing him a disservice. He's an awesome fucking character actor. But Vivica Fox's husband in that, like, they, you know, they have kids. They've been married for a long time. They genuinely, like, love each other.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm very curious now about different depictions of, like, black families and, like, parenthood specifically.
Ooh, and they even had the bougie auntie.
Yeah.
The bougie rich auntie.
Yeah. You know, with...
Who was rude, who was mean.
Vanessa Williams. And, like, you know, what being rich will do to you.
It's
but anyway, I'm very curious about depictions of parenthood from and being black and being a parent as opposed to just, like, family drama, like, mm-hmm. how that's portrayed through culture. So
yeah.
I want to go back and watch Soul Food because I feel like I'm going to enjoy it.
Mm-hmm.
I enjoyed it.
I feel like I'm going to have fun with it.
The
only thing that was weird, and actually I watched this, like, maybe the day before, a week before we had the fish fry. Because we should update people. We did end up having a fish fry.
Oh, yeah.
That just lets you know you got to speak what you want into being. But
Won't he do it?
Yeah, won't he do it? The only thing that's weird about that movie is they take a whole fish and put it in cornmeal and they deep fry it.
Yeah.
I was like, nobody does that.
Yeah.
Or if you do, let us know. If you fry the whole fish, if you're from the American South and you regularly sit down eating an entire fried fish like you're at an Ethiopian restaurant, then, like, please let us know, because, like, them whole fried fish at the Ethiopian restaurant, first of all.
I mean, it's good.
The shit is delicious.
It's real.
Shout out Duke. Shout out DC. But
they were in Chicago.
Yeah, they were in Chicago.
Maybe, you know.
Maybe they do for shit. I don't know. Maybe that's what y'all do. Let us know. Also, I do want to hear from all y'all. Like, I gave you my dark horse where I'm like, let's give Megan Good a shot. I want to hear from y'all.
Mine was Nate Parker.
I want to hear from y'all. Like, a person who you think deserves a shot where other people might be like, I don't know about that. I want to know who y'all think deserves a shot and why.
So, talk to us is what Brittany's trying to say.
Yep, talk to us.
On Twitter, on Facebook.
Instagram.
You know, send us a message through the website, forcolornerds.com.
Yep. Or you can email us, forcolornerds@gmail.com.
Or better yet, just leave it in a review on iTunes.
Oh. Look at me. Look at you. Don't be like Wesley, y'all. Stay black, but also pay your taxes.
Pay your taxes. He'll come get you.
I'm Uncle Sam.
But, you know, Wesley came back. He got the player. I'm excited. TV is where it's at for black people
TV
now.
TV is where it's at for black people now. And you know what? Since I just said we got to speak stuff into existence, Tracy Twinkie Bird, if you want to talk to me or Eric.
Stop.
And I'll, no, and if you want to put us in a cameo on Empire.
Yo, don't get too. I'll be somebody baby cousin.
Look at that. See,
I'll be somebody baby cousin.
You told me to stop until I said, please put us on. I'll play a cadaver. I don't care. I just want to be on Empire. I'll do partial nudity.
It's a network TV. We're going to stop. Anyway, thank you. It's been fun, guys. Talk soon.
Bye.
Bye.
At Capella University, you'll get support from people who care about your success. From before you enroll to after you graduate, pursue your goals knowing help is available when you need it. Imagine your future differently at capella.edu.